When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey. It's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show that I record in my car. 10 minutes or so of thoughts about my workday and some thoughts in general about the craft of making comics. See, I told you I'd work on that intro a little bit. So what am I working on? What am I thinking about today as I close out my workday? Well, I recorded an episode of Art and Story Extreme with my buddy Mark Rudolph. It's at cbcomics.com/extreme if you haven't checked it out yet. And we just recorded an episode with a friend of ours, Kim Holm of cartoonarchy.blogspot.com. And we got talking. Most of the conversation was around copyright, which is, man, that's a big topic in and of itself. And man, I can't spend any time talking about that here. We really need to do an Art and Story proper about that one. But at the top of the episode, we talked a little bit about the daily sketches we've been doing at gogoillustration.com. And one of the things that Kim brought to our attention is just how cheap the sketches are. And they are cheap. I'm selling mine for a range between, you know, $9 and $12 a sketch. And I'm spending about 20 minutes on each of these sketches, trying to keep it under 20 minutes. Sometimes they go as long as 35 minutes on some of the more ambitious ones. And without going into too much detail about my rates as a freelance illustrator, that is significantly less. That's less than half of what I would charge for the same thing if I sold it to an ad agency. And now one could argue, well, you're not selling these to ad agencies. You're selling these to your constituency, the people who are supporting you. And you know, there's an argument there. But then the counter argument is that what if an ad agency sees this page and they're going to see how you're, you know, what you're selling your work for, and they're going to bring that to your attention when you send them a quote. There's another counter argument. Another argument altogether is that aren't you creating an atmosphere where you are training people to have place less value on this artwork? As Kim Holm very accurately pointed out to me, I can't believe this never occurred to me. He said, you know, original art is more rare than diamonds because this is art as only you, the individual, can make it. When I'm gone, you're not going to get any art from Jersey Drozd anymore, any art that you can get a reasonable facsimile thereof, but not from my imagination. And what's more is that one piece that I created is the one piece. That's the only one. So it's exceedingly rare. That itself creates more value. And in Kevin Cross, my good buddy over on Art and Story Supreme, of High Adventure Daily and countless other projects, and on gogoillustration.com, he's gone on at length on the Big Illustration Party Time podcast about this idea of undercutting. Selling your stuff on the cheap works against all illustrators in general because it, for that very reason, that it creates this sense of the stuff must not be very valuable because they're not charging very much for it. This perceived value thing. We've talked about this on countless Art and Story episodes about pricing your works on your table at a convention. And I've seen firsthand items that I try to sell for $2 selling less than items that I'm selling for, say, $9. But then there's this weird thing about like $15 where I've had a hard time selling a book for $15, but you go $12, and for some reason that number doesn't seem so frightening to people. Who knows if there's something intrinsic to those numbers in people's psyches, or if this is just something about general economy of the current economy. Not sure. And I don't feel that I have an answer yet to this problem of pricing my work, because I see both sides of the argument. On the one hand, this is for the people who support the show and are, for lack of a better term, enthusiasts of the kind of work that I do. And there's one more problem that this whole thing brings up, is these sketches that I'm doing are not always my characters. I'm drawing Transformers characters, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe characters, G.I. Joe characters. And the question arises, are the people buying the sketch because it's too bad from the Masters of the Universe? Or are they buying it because it's too bad as only I can draw too bad? That's a really difficult question to answer. So the point is I don't have an answer. I don't know what to do about it just yet. And I'm going to try to feel it out and figure it out. But the thought of the day that I was given by this, the clue for the topic for this Thunder Punch Daily, I'll close out with the remaining minutes that we've got, is the idea of confidence. Because when you think about pricing your work, I think that that is, we live in a capitalistic society, people, like it or not. I happen to like it, but some don't. The thing about living in a capitalistic society is that pricing is a direct reflection on your confidence in the work. All other things notwithstanding, all the other considerations that I pointed out notwithstanding, that first, the first blush, the first cursory evaluation of an object and its price tells you what the person's perceived value is in the object, and that can be translated into confidence. Confidence is a tricky thing. I think it comes with time. I think of the line from the John Cusack movie, Better Off Dead, where the French exchange student says to him, I think if you get a taste of confidence or a taste of success, you'll find it suits you. I think that when we work hard and we encounter some minor successes, that builds our confidence for sure. But I also think when you're a beginning cartoonist, I think of the expression, you fake it till you make it. And I think that this is a tricky balance. It's really difficult to find that balance between, because some people think they equate confidence with being a jerk and being full of themselves and throwing their weight around. Like, look at me, I'm the best in town. You're never going to get it. Only a god could put this together, you know? You don't want to do that. But you want to appear confident in your work, even if you're not. Because people, just as when you see somebody who's confident, you don't know what's going on inside their head. When people see you acting confident, they don't know what's going inside your head. You think of Spider-Man, and I hate to invoke superhero characters as an example because comics is much more than superheroes, everybody like it or not. But when Spider-Man is fighting his villains, at least in the old Ditko Lee Spider-Mans, the good ones, he's always cracking wise and making jokes while he's fighting, but inside he's terrified. The villain doesn't know that. It drives the villain crazy because, man, I can't get under this guy's skin. I can't make him angry. I can't get to him emotionally. And that's a fun thing to watch because, yeah, we're in on the whole thing. We're watching poor Peter shaking his boots, but the villain doesn't know it. I think that's something we need to remind ourselves when we're presenting our work to the outside world. Any work that we do, whether we're at a convention, whether we are on a panel discussion, whether we're doing a podcast, I try to be attentive to what kind of confidence and self-assurance I'm exuding, because as we've talked about many times before on Art and Story, is you don't want to be the downer at the party. You don't want to be the guy who sits around going, oh, well, nobody wants to hang out with me, and I guess I don't have as many readers as I would like to. That guy's a drag. You want to be the guy who's having a good time doing this thing, and there's lots of ways to exude confidence and having fun. You don't have to be a bombastic, high-voiced weirdo in order to show that you're having a good time. I think Mark and I are good examples of the different inflections of having a good time that one can have and how one can portray that sense of being relaxed and having a good time with something. Mark does not laugh like I do. But I think it's clear that we're both having a good time doing Art and Story, if that makes any sense. But I do think this is something that creators of all levels of proficiency and all levels of seniority need to remind themselves of every once in a while, because we do have emotional highs and lows. We do have off days where we just feel like, you know, a turd, for lack of a better term right now. And I think about when I go to teach. This is something I take very seriously. When I was teaching in Detroit, it was a couple years ago now, I was teaching 6 hours a day, and it was very taxing to talk for 6 hours a day, 30 kids in a classroom at a time, sometimes with a lot of classroom management going on, and anybody who's ever had to manage more than a couple kids knows what I'm talking about. It's very tiring. It's fun, but it's tiring. And there were days where I would come home from teaching for 6 hours, and then I'd draw for another 4 to 6 hours, sleep for about 4 to 5 hours, get up and start it all over again. And there were mornings where 7 a.m. I'd be dragging my feet as I approached that classroom door. But the moment I crossed that door, I put on my Jersey persona of, hey, it's me, Jersey. Why? Because the kids, they're not interested in what kind of bad day you had. And you're not doing anybody any good by sitting down and saying, Daddy needs a cup of coffee. You got to get right to work, and you got to exude that confidence and that sincerity and that sense of fun. And I think it's something that you can train yourself to do. And here's the interesting part. I can report on this from my own experience. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. By acting more confident, you become more confident. And even if you're, you know, really just wiped out after putting on this act, when you're starting out, you know, going to cons, going to exhibitions and talking to people about your work and being public with your work and interacting with people about your work, over time, it will become a natural part of you and it's not faking it anymore. And then people will just assume that you are what you have always professed to be, a professional. I get emails from people, both Mark and I get emails from people all the time, who clearly assume that Art and Story is some kind of national phenomenon. And they want in on it. They want to get in on our audience because once they get on Art and Story, they're going to be famous. And it's always kind of sweetly and bitterly funny to inform them of the harsh truth of it, is that, yes, we do enjoy a very enthusiastic and wonderful audience, but we're not Oprah. But why are they assuming that? Well, hopefully it's because we promote ourselves in a semi-professional manner, you know, or, well, really hopefully a professional manner. So it's that whole perception thing. The perception precedes the truth. And if you act like a professional, if you act like you believe in the work, then other people will believe in the work as well. So confidence is important. And there's the thought that occurred to me just because I was talking to a guy about pricing my books. And that's another lesson about keeping that analytic eye open and always be curious about how the art day can inform the larger issues in your artistic life. Oh man, that sounded like self-help stuff, didn't it? I apologize. Okay, I'm Jerzy Drozd of jdrozd.com. I'm Jerzy on the Twitter, J-E-R-Z-Y. Follow me on Twitter. I post little things every once in a while there. I also post news about this project and all the other things I'm involved in. Speaking of this project, check out the other shows. Mark Rudolph's Mark of the Beast, Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily, some other great microcasts to get other voices on these topics. We do extra episodes of Art and Story Extreme. A lot of fun. The Art and Story Supreme show is our extra monthly show. Don't forget about the forums, cvcomics.com/artandstory/forums. You can find, you can go there to talk with the other art and storyers who have subscribed to this service, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Play along, won't you? And then beyond that, there's the office hours, the open office hours, and we announce that in the Art and Storyers forums, where you can meet with us and have some one-on-one talk about anything that you want in regards to comics and projects that you're working on. So lots of stuff there to be had. This is where I have to say thank you very much for subscribing to this podcast and to the Art and Story Supreme site itself. We couldn't do this without you. So we really deeply appreciate your support. Thanks so much. Okay, time for me to go. Thanks again for listening. I'll be back soon with another punch in the art day, I guess. Yeah. And remember, everybody,
it's a good thing Orko got my sword back today, or Prince Adam might never have been seen again. The rock man who took my sword thought it made him a leader, but he was wrong. A sword or any other symbol doesn't make a person a good leader. What does is intelligence, respect for others, and an unselfish desire to do good. People are proud of a leader with those qualities, so if you develop them in yourself, you could become a good leader too. See you soon.